This episode of Zotcast is brought to you by EnterThePaper.net, a biblioclepse journey. Now, it's not a real sponsor, it's just my new blog that I am using for my columns and blogging class that I am taking over at the Nathias Loeb School for Communications. I have to admit that this has been my longest podcast to date, and it is very full of ranting and raving and full of anger towards the development of the Lord of the Rings film adaptations of the books. And that's not even my ranting, really. It is more of Frank's. And we have a special guest, Frank's sister, Allie. And it's the first time that we had a third person come on this podcast. And I feel that she adds depth to the conversation, which is really nice. It's always good to have a third party there as well, because when Frank and I just talk, I just let him talk sometimes, and it doesn't pan out very well for him, considering it, you know, when I don't have anything to say, it's more of a one-sided conversation, which is not really a conversation. At that point, it is more like a monologue. So anyway, I'd like to thank you guys for listening. Continue to listen. It's going to be fun. It is about 50 minutes worth of fun stuff. Here we go. Weight Watchers Citrus Frost. This Zotcast brought to you by Weight Watchers Citrus Frost.
This Zotcast brought to you in part by Schnurples.
And Liquid Sadness.
Speaking of Liquid Sadness, I showed my sister where I worked.
Uh-oh.
Yes, yes. And she's like, can I get a drink at the bar? And I said, sure. Okay. So she went and she ordered herself White Russian. And because I have yet to update my license, or should I say my non-driver's ID?
Yeah.
I couldn't get alcohol, so I ordered a Shirley Temple. Because I'm a man.
You're so hardcore.
Word.
Like, wow, man.
Yeah, well, that's how I roll.
Yeah, downhill. Anyway.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to Zotcast. My name is Steve.
I'm Frank. And we have a special guest tonight, my sister, Alyssa.
Hello.
She's over there somewhere doing something else.
All right. So, Frank, how's it going?
It's going.
Good. Have you watched The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't watch TV.
Shame on you.
No, I haven't watched TV in, like, forever. There was, like, nothing on that was worth watching that I couldn't, like, watch on DVD later. You know, so if I can, why bother?
No, I completely agree. I mean, but now that I have the luxury of actually watching cable television, I decided to take advantage.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
You know, Frank,
I do.
You motherfucker.
Anyway, hi. We came to talk about things tonight, sort of.
Maybe.
A few updates. I noticed a lot of people, well, not a lot, but more than usual, had quite a few hits on my Freddy Got Finger review lately, so I'm pretty proud of that.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud to be hosting your stuff.
You should be.
Yeah,
you
it was great.
Wig on you.
Yeah, now if only we were making money off it.
I know, right? We just get the traffic up, we can start doing some banner ads, right?
Something like that.
Works? Is that how it works?
No. I've actually been taking, for the past few weeks and for the next few weeks, a class. Ooh, hold on. Oh, man. There we go. That's the Shirley Temple coming up.
Gross.
Yeah. Like, that hit you real hard. That Shirley Temple. It's starting to kick in now.
Right after that.
Really savor that. Fizzy water.
It's not funny. I lost my brother to Shirley Temples. Shirley Temple killed my brother.
We have a
That's not funny, man.
Oh, man. Okay, so what the hell was I saying?
Oh, man. I'm the man.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I'm drinking a Shirley Temple because I'm a man.
I am a man.
Punch. What was that? That was like a donkey punch that Superman gave that guy. I am a man. That was like right smack in the back of the head.
Well, had it coming.
Alright, so sex jokes and comic books aside.
Yes.
Okay, for the past few weeks, I have been going to a columns and blogging course.
Mm-hmm.
Provided free at the NACES Loeb School for Communications.
Uh-huh.
Right here in friendly Manchester, New Hampshire.
Right.
Yes. And from what I understand is that they really said, you know, she said, the teacher, if we want to make money off our blogs, we have to have, let's see, not licensed, like, we're not supposed to have, like, even pictures that are already licensed. You know what I mean? So we have to have, like, non-commercial, you know, attribute, you know, photos.
Huh.
And give credit to it at the bottom of the blog kind of thing. You know? And if we're going to make money, because otherwise, I mean, we're still using somebody else's content. That's still a copyright content. The picture is, you know, copyright by the maker of the poster or a DVD cover or VHS cover, you know what I mean? It's, yeah.
Well, that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it is. We had to go back and pretty much just like...
Wait about these things nowadays.
We could either find fan art or make our own fan art or just find some generic art clip to represent the blog post.
Yeah.
And they do...
Fan art would be the best choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep it interesting so it doesn't get like totally...
Because we got to try to keep our creation to a minimum. We don't want to, you know, expose ourselves for the frauds we are.
But technically, we can make money off of the blog site. I mean, that's pretty much like the one thing we really need to change is just the stills.
Uh-huh.
You know, it is recommended that we do use like a visual representation for the blog. Like, you know, for each article.
Yeah. That's what I was kind of telling you. We should always try to have pictures attached just to make it more visually appealing. When people will come in, the picture's going to catch somebody's eye. They're going to say, what's this?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because when you share that link to that blog post on other sites, I mean, if they do have, like, some kind of, like, preview, like on Facebook, like Facebook does and Tumblr... then they will they would pretty much just grab that image, you know, to represent the article. So that's good. Freddy Got Fingers has been getting some views.
Yep. And if anybody has checked the website lately, they know that I am suffering through Lord of the Rings, watching the movies, making notes for my big new essay, in which I will bitch from beginning to end about everything that was changed between the books to the movies and make a complete ass of myself by beating this dead horse into the ground.
Dead horse.
Somebody has to do it.
Are you going to listen to Leonard Nimoy's Bilbo Baggins?
No. I fucking hate that song.
I know.
I want to go back in time and punch Leonard Nimoy in the dick.
Oh my
That's
God.
Right. I said that. Wow. I'll take it back.
Oh, man. Shit's got real now.
Punching Leonard Nimoy's cock is very important.
We got to go back to that point and continue on from there.
Yep.
You know, this is a natural progression.
Don't worry about it, guys. I fucking got this.
Oh, my God. How did that song go anyway?
Shut up. Shut the fucking shut up.
No, it's bad because it's stuck in my head right now.
No,
same here. It's like I got the music and I've got like the tune, but I don't have the words.
How can you? It's Bilbo Baggins.
Fuck
face is 3 feet tall.
Don't even remind him.
No, I'm talking about the actual, like, not the refrain. I'm talking about the verses.
It's such a bad song. Yeah, the tune is uncomfortable and off key, and
like, I don't even stupid hate it, children and I don't want singing. To remember it.
I hate children singing. They're so terrible. It's so rare to get good children singing into something.
I am finding every lost child and bringing them here tomorrow to sing to you forever.
This is why I never liked you. Son of a bitch.
You're welcome, Frank.
I'm fed up with this world. Everybody's out to get me.
There's the radio Frank, the reality Frank rant.
Hi, Lisa.
I did not hit her.
It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Guy's timing is painful. Every word he says is some awkward whiplash.
I think he's French, but that fucking accent is just out of fucking...
No, it's not even the accent. Like, he can speak words. It's just how he does it.
He's got this weird, non-specific accent from, like, a different planet.
He's like a
character out of Men in Black. He's an alien who can't quite disguise himself well enough to blend in. He sticks out a little bit because he's just not getting it.
No, he just puts all the wrong emphasis on all the wrong syllables.
No, it's not even that. It's just like you said, his timing and his lack of enthusiasm, his deadpan voice.
He sounds like Paul McGann trying to sound British.
It's like he's trying to talk sexy to his girlfriend, and it sounds like he's just bored. And fucking... Never mind.
I'm talking about that movie today.
Tommy Wiseau is not my problem, okay? I could put The Room on right now, and I could have a good time watching that movie. Because
it's so fucking great.
It's fucking fun to watch and riff on and make fun of. Lord of the Rings just makes me angry. Like, deeply offended on an almost personal level.
Would you like to give us a taste of the upcoming blog series?
It's gonna get rough, dude.
3 hours later.
It's gonna be an essay I'm gonna write up. I mean, I suppose I could, you know, do a read my essay as a podcast so people can just, like, listen to me ranting for an hour, however long it's going to take.
We should do that sometime then. You know, when you write up your essay, we'll do a podcast where you're just reading it.
Maybe we can convert all my guilty pleasures into audio podcasts.
That'd be interesting.
You know? That maybe we can delete the old posts.
Nah, man, we'll just have them as supplement. So for people who don't want to take the time to read a blog, who need to play their Grand Theft Auto while listening to the podcast in the background.
Yeah, I'm sure they're gonna, you know, be playing GTA and think, I need to listen to what Frank says about friggin' Friday the 13th.
I would.
Yes. Fuck.
I would. Well, I do that. Well,
good, but it's missing something.
When
Freddy got fingered.
I need to hear a full-on conniption right now.
There are about a dozen good reviewers out there that I can listen to ranting about something right now. I'm going to put Frank on. Is there something about that guy?
That fucking guy.
It really makes people uncomfortable. On them.
That other guy with the glasses.
Yeah. This amateur nobody from the middle of bumfuck everywhere, he's got something to say that needs to be heard.
Yeah, because every reviewer didn't start that way.
Yeah.
Every review was just sort of overnight a hit.
I'm kind of the bottom of the pile right now.
Dude, what does that make me?
Dude, I don't even know.
You shut your... Wow. Wow, man. See, I'm trying to, like, entail some more confidence and, like, you know, self-acknowledgement here. I'm not saying, like, oh my god, we are awesome, we are the number one podcast here on the internet. No, I'm just saying that we've come a short way from...
No, no, no. Hold on. As long as we're still rating higher than Johnny Old School, we're doing okay. That's our bar right now.
Johnny Old School. I love that guy.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think Johnny Old School is great. I love his videos. I wish he'd... You know, I'm glad he's getting over his personal thing recently, and I look forward to movie reviews again. Because right now he's just been doing a lot like beer reviews. And that's fine, but he's capable of so much more, and I'm looking forward to seeing him get back up to the running speed, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now that I'm back in the spotlight again. No, that's not how it goes.
Please don't.
Anyway, now that like I'm back in my hometown and I have like constant internet access, you know, I can actually start working on these projects in my off time.
Yeah.
Like I can start making some more videos. I can start actually writing out my reviews and filming them again, and then I can, you know, finish the Friday the 13th. You know, I could actually start completing the projects that I've been wanting to do.
2 years. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Hold on. I can now complete the projects that I've been meaning to, so that way we could build up an actual, like, decent reputation and own a skill base and probably, like, figure out what works and what doesn't and, you know, finally become somewhat on par with one of the more decent, like, internet reviewers, you know?
Yeah. Well, if we ever get anybody to friggin' register on the website, leave us some comments, you know?
Well, I've spoken to...
I know it sounds like we whine about this, but guys, come on. We know you're out there. We want to hear what you got to say.
Yeah. Well, prospectively speaking, like, it would be nice if I actually contributed a little bit more to this, because I know you've been doing a lot of, you know, blog.
I haven't done anything in ways.
Yes, you have, dude. Yeah, but you've been doing enough. You've been doing a lot more than I have. And I, you know, I want to say to everyone who's listening, everyone who's been following our posts and such, and you, Frank, that I'm sorry that I haven't been contributing as much as I should have, considering that this is my site. And, you know, I brought you on here because I wanted you to, you know, be part of a team, but we're not really a team when it's mainly just you posting.
Well, I understand. You know, it's not like I'm holding it against you. I know you've been busy and you had so many, you know, problems trying to get back on your feet and get into a stable situation.
Yeah.
So you do what you can when you can do it.
Yeah. I mean, because I want us to, you know, be good enough for Johnny Old School to say, you know what? Yeah, these guys are all right. We should collaborate with them.
Well, he should be saying that anyway because we're just fucking awesome.
Said the guy 10 minutes ago. Who listens to us? Yes, they want to listen to me while they're playing GTA.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, we just have bad publicity. Or no publicity.
Hey, no publicity is worse than bad publicity. Oh, wait, you're right. Damn.
I know I'm right. I'm always right.
Steve just talked himself into a corner and then in a circle.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time, so...
So, Lord of the Rings. And we're back to that.
Yeah, I just can't get away from it. It's been over 10 years. And it's like when the
Jesus
movies...
Jesus Christ, it has?
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
The first one came out, 2001, right?
Oh. Yes, and then the second one is Two Towers, 2002,
yep.
And then...
So, yeah. Shit.
I am just unable to accept that as a reality.
Okay. So
I know, it's weird. It just felt like yesterday that it came out in theaters, you know?
Yeah, it goes like this for me. I was 21 when the first movie was going to be coming out. And I had tried to read the books once before when I was about 12. But I just couldn't do it for some reason. I mean, I had grown up watching the old animated movies like the...
Rankin and Bass.
Yeah, the Rankin and Bass ones and the Ralph Bakshi film. So, you know, actually reading the books and seeing how the story structure was different, it kind of threw me. So, you know, try it again when I'm 21 and I hear the movies are coming out. I'm like, okay, I'm going to read the books this time. So I read the books, and I just fell in love with it. And to date, I have lost count of how many times I've read it, but it has to be somewhere in the upper 30s.
Yeah, that is so not an exaggeration. At all.
A lot of times. I love the story. I love everything about the story.
Yeah.
So then the movie comes out. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of neat. It looks really cool. And then some time goes by, and I get the DVDs. Yeah, it's great. Look at all the extra deleted scenes. That's pretty cool. And then some more time goes by, and like, well, it's starting to kind of bother me. Like, the more I read the book, the more I hated the movie.
Uh-oh, man.
And so now, finally, it's come to the point where watching the movie just... it just makes me angry seeing the things that were changed that didn't have to be changed. Things that were added that just waste time and take away from things that should have been there. Seeing the characters be completely rewritten from the ground up, behaving in ways that barely have anything to do with their real characters in the book. Everybody's motivations have been skewed or changed completely. Mm-hmm. You know, serious characters are turned into walking jokes. And it just goes on and on. All these things that just drive me up the wall.
Like Boromir's whole, like, you know, one simply does not walk into Mordor.
Well,
and,
there's...
and everyone's making a meme about that. One simply does not do this or that. Or...
no, no, that's not the kind of thing I'm talking about. I'm talking about things like, you know, in the book, characters like Merry and Pippin, who are Frodo's closest friends, they're not a couple of bumbling comic relief characters. They're just as serious and... you know, just as capable as anybody else. In the book, Frodo is actually surprisingly tough. And in the movie, he just goes all to pieces. He's got nothing to him. He never makes a decision on his own.
And Sam.
Oh, freaking Sam. Mm-hmm. Sam, like the unofficial real hero of the entire story, he's downplayed so much to the point that in Return of the King, Frodo actually sends Sam away. I'm like, really? You're doing this to the...
That doesn't happen in the books?
No.
He doesn't get, like, twisted by Gollum and, like, manipulated to...
no. That was completely fabricated because Peter Jackson loves inventing forced conflict.
Oh, wow.
Like, all the times when freaking main characters are made look like they might be dead. That's bullshit. We know it's not true. Mm-hmm. It's just all these... he took a classic adventure story and he turned it into a big, dumb action movie. And even Christopher Tolkien has been speaking out against it for these reasons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Christopher Tolkien, who at first gave his blessing for these movies to be made, is now saying, it's fucking stupid.
I mean, I felt that way with The Hobbit.
Oh, don't even get me started on The Goddamn Hobbit.
Oh, here we go.
Like, okay, I've read the Lord of the Rings books, but I know a great deal about The Hobbit, and I really feel that way about the movie.
Yeah, like, all they had to do was make a live-action version of the old Rankin and Bass Hobbit movie.
Basically.
That's all it needed to be. One fucking movie. We don't need to pad the three movies with supplemental shit from Unfinished Tales and... you know, Book of Lost Tales and the appendices.
I don't mind that. The thing is like you say, I don't like when he changes something that doesn't need to happen.
Yes.
Like, there were things that you're just insulted if you actually know what's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You're
mm-hmm.
like, that strips what he even is. Mm-hmm. What's the point of this happening? You can't label him as the burglar when he doesn't even find the troll's treasure. Mm-hmm. Some asshole just stumbles upon it, just, whoops! Look at the treasure!
Yeah.
Good going, thief!
Yeah.
Like, that pissed me off. That stripped the character of what it was supposed to be about.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that he can throw in a little extra fight scene.
Yeah, okay, here's a snippet of something I'm going to talk about in the essay, is Aragorn. And the whole mm-hmm. Aragorn subplot. In the movie, Aragorn is kind of reluctant to go on this quest and to pursue any course of action that would lead to him claiming his birthright as the king of Gondor.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't take the shards of Norisil and have it reforged. He doesn't want to be the king. for some reason.
Right.
However, in the book, Aragorn does want to become the king. He does want to go on this quest for two very important reasons. First of all, helping to destroy the ring will help to undo the mistake of his ancestor who took the ring from Sauron. You know, he's trying to redeem his family line.
Yeah, which ended with Isildur.
Well, no, his family line continues into him, but his family line was disgraced and fell from the kingship at that time. So he wants to redeem his bloodline and his family honor. But at the same time, he also wants to become the king because Elrond made it clear that Aragorn couldn't marry Arwen unless he was king. And they've been engaged since he was, like, well, a young man, and they met Lothlorien. So he's been looking forward to a time when he could finally marry her for a long time. And he's always carried the shards of Narsil, the broken sword, because that was the responsibility of the, you know, the current heir of Isildur. And so it was always said that when the ring was found, the sword would be reforged, and it would be taken as a sign that the heir of Isildur is called back to Gondor to reclaim the kingship. So Peter Jackson took this proud, noble, honorable character and turned him into somebody who, he was a good guy, but for no explainable reason, he didn't want to, you know, claim his destiny.
He wanted to just kind of drop the ball.
No, he just, there was no explaining it. There was no reason why he wouldn't want to do this.
Okay, well, does it really bear explaining? Does it really need explaining? The simple fact, you know that he is the heir of Isildur. You know that his bloodline is tainted. Now, if that happened to me, of course I'm going to try to resist temptation. Right. You know, by not wanting to be the king at all, because you know, to go on the quest and to help out with the ring, you know, trying to send the ring off, I don't want to go anywhere near it and have anything to do with it, because I would be afraid that I would be, tainted as well.
No. See, Aragorn is a true-blooded Numenorean. They are greater than normal men. Which is why Faramir is able to resist the power of the ring in the book. In the book, Faramir isn't even slightly tempted by the ring. He wants nothing to do with it.
Okay.
And it's explained that he has the ability to resist it because the blood of Numenor runs almost true in his veins. Unlike Boromir, who was more like his father. So that's why Boromir fell from grace, because he wasn't as true to Numenor as his other descendants.
I see what you're saying here. So yeah. Numenorians are, as you said, greater than men.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Isildur was tempted by it because, you know, he picked up the ring on the slopes of Mount Doom right after it had been on the hand of Sauron, so it was at its most powerful. Of course, it would have completely obliterated his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Or overthrown him instantly.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the fact that Aragorn would want to go on this quest, you know, and there's no, I mean, even in the movie they establish that he can't marry Arwen, and at one point in the movie, Elrond talks him into calling it off, and he goes along with it for a few minutes. It's like, why? Why all this bullshit? Why invent all this nonsense that has nothing to do with the real story, which was perfectly fine the way it was? And it would have been easier to translate the film than what you've invented for this bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, all of it would work in a different story.
Yeah.
In its own story. That makes great suspense for maybe a TV series, but not for a movie.
Yeah.
Especially not for three movies. There was no good reason to be like, oh, well, I guess I'll just not get married to her, to my one true love. See you later.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just not be the king.
But then all of this stupidity culminates in Return of the King when fucking Elrond just fucking teleports from Rivendell to Rohan.
Casual.
In like a day. Like somehow he goes from Rivendell to Rohan in a day.
Well, he's got those elephant horses.
Yeah, bullshit.
He traveled by map.
You bet your ass he did.
He must have. Fucking. Okay, so he has Narsil reforged. He teleports to Rohan in a day. And tells Aragorn that he has to become the king to destroy the ring. Because for no reason that is ever explained, explored, or even hinted at why, for some reason, Arwen is just dying because the ring exists.
Yes.
It is absolutely no basis for this. There's no reason for this. And so Aragorn is, like, forced to take on the sword and, you know, go to the paths of the dead and pursue the course of action of becoming the king. Just to save her. I'm like, fuck you, bullshit. That was the most made up. Oh, just boiled my piss.
No, see, as a woman, I frequently go into near-death bouts of depression because of rings.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, Peter Jackson's just tapping into what it's like to be a real woman.
Yeah. I mean, that was literally all the explanation Elrond gave. Arwen's fate has been tied up with that of the ring. How? Why? When did this happen? What's it for?
Hold on. Okay. Think about it. Yes, I think pretty much everybody in that movie's fate has been tied with the ring. And
nobody else is just mysteriously dying of fucking...
No. It was deeper than that. It's tied in the ring indirectly by means like, okay, whatever happens with the ring, she's going to be affected by it. Everyone's going to be affected by it because of, what was it? Like a trickle-down effect. You know what I mean? Like,
The domino effect. No.
There's no kind of influence. That doesn't work.
If you want to be creative and write it off, you can say that if the ring is not destroyed, then by fate, that means that Aragorn will never take the throne, they can never be together, and she knows that. And therefore it's causing her to have the elven sadness of death.
That's also complete bullshit.
It's
clever.
That's what I'm saying, is you can make as many creative excuses as you want. It's not a part of the main story. It was not created by Tolkien, and therefore it is a flawed logic.
It's stupid.
It's unnecessary, it's unexplained, and there's no good basis to it.
It's dumb action movie do ex machina.
Exactly.
This is just the reason that exists now for the main character to do this.
Obviously, that's why Elrond just jogged over to Rohan real quick-like
to hand off
the sword that he forged by shoving up his ass.
He took
because his daughter's dying.
Yeah, Elrond just takes the bullet train from Osaka.
My people need me. I must go.
Well, I haven't finished reading the books, and you know that's a flaw on my part. Yeah, but what I understand, the one thing that kind of upsets me so far is that Frodo ages 12 years within the first few chapters. You know, because between the time that Gandalf hands him the ring,
17 years from Bilbo's party.
Yep.
To when Gandalf returns and tells him what he's finally discovered about the ring.
Okay.
Yeah, there's actual time that happened there.
Yeah, in the movie, it's like...
Yeah, in the movie, it was like a week later or something.
Yeah, like, that, the same evening, the freaking Black Riders set out from the Black Tower. It's like, damn, guys. You know, you could have a narrator say, 17 years past sleepily in the Shire, like in the Ralph Bakshi film.
Yeah,
That's what he did.
And Gandalf never explained the fact that he followed and had people follow Gollum.
Yeah, that was completely overlooked.
Yeah.
You know, that means that Legolas just showed up to Rivendell for the fuck of it.
It's hey guys, there's some shit happening.
Because in the book, he was sent from Mirkwood to report that Gollum had escaped. He didn't know that Gandalf already knew this, because Gwaihir told him. But that's why Legolas of Mirkwood came all the way to the Council of Elrond.
Now,
in the book, in the movie, he's just there.
No, he's just summoned like everyone else. He just shows the fuck up.
And in the book, nobody was summoned. They all just made their way there at that time. It's just fortune that those people happened to be there at the time.
Gimli, I choose you.
Well, Gimli and his father Glowing came were sent there because they had been getting there had been a messenger from Mordor trying to get information about Bilbo from them. So they came for counsel about this. So that's the reason why they were there.
Which is actually really deep.
Yeah, in the book, everybody has a real reason for the things they do. In the movie, fucking Merry and Pippin are just bumbling through the fields, and Frodo and Sam just happen to find them, and they just
kind of like, whoa, mushrooms! Okay, let's have a quest now.
Yeah, there's no explanation for why are those. Well, yeah, they're stealing vegetables, but like, really?
From farmer maggots.
Yeah, they just happen to be in that particular field in that part of the Shire, stealing vegetables.
Stealing.
Just so they could meet up with Frodo and Sam, and somehow run 40 miles from the Shire to Bree in an evening.
Like, that's one thing.
Because, of course, they had to skip over the Bombadil chapter.
Yeah, but I mean,
is only understandable.
That is actually one thing. These characters that, as you say, are the comic relief, but they are supposed to be very reliable, responsible characters, and you meet them while they are stealing.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I'm sure the little shits run around and swipe things off the farmer for giggles every once in a while.
Well, maybe not when they were younger.
To have that as an introduction of a character?
Yeah. Well, no, we see them at Bilbo's wedding, but yeah. And of course, then they're stealing the giant firecracker. Which, exactly. Again, was made up for the movie. That didn't happen in the book. There's no mention of Merry and Pippin until, like, the next day after the party. I mean, in the book, Frodo never has a line until after Bilbo leaves.
I feel that, like, we barely scratched the surface. Yeah.
I could go on like this for hours. I don't know how I'm ever going to write this thing.
It's going to happen. What do you think what you did with the Highlander serial?
You actually did write Freddy Got Fingered.
I did.
That is a true accomplishment.
But Freddy Got Fingered was... It was one movie.
Yeah, but it was also held back because he did not want to watch it again.
No, I had to sit and watch Freddy Got Fingered 3 times in a row. Just to have time and to be able to study this shit and figure out what I wanted to say about the overall experience of watching the movie. I've never had to do that before. I've never been at a loss for words to describe something. As sitting there watching Freddy Got Fingered and thinking to myself, how the fuck do I review this?
Yeah, I had to watch it in three installments because... It was so appalling to me.
Yeah, I had to just keep watching it on a loop. Like, what do I say? How do I start?
Every 2 minutes, I was like, I got to take a break. You know what I mean? I'm like, all right, I'm just going to watch a little more. Oh, okay, there he goes with the baby fetus. Like, yeah. I mean, with the embryo cord. Like, all right, I'm pausing this.
I mean, I had trouble just fucking starting the damn review. Like, where do I even begin?
But you toughed it out, though.
I did, somehow. But this is going to be...
Your greatest
if you could just
Everest
see,
yet.
If you could just see all the notes I've made just on Fellowship and Two Towers.
Yeah.
And those are just quick notes as I'm watching it of points I want to touch on. This is going to be a fucking small novel. By the time I'm done writing this all up, if I ever do.
It actually makes it better reason to have done an audio or video.
I mean, you know how fucking the Plinkett review of The Phantom Menace is about the same length as the movie The Phantom Menace?
Starting to feel that coming on, huh?
I think I may have bitten off more than I can chew here, because this is really turning into an ambitious project.
Well, think about this. Okay, Sean Astin, right? He wrote a book about his experience as an actor doing the film adaptation. So it was like There and Back Again, an actor's tale. Well, imagine this as There and Back Again, a fanboy's tale.
Oh, don't you ever, ever call me that again.
You are, though. Think about it. You are totally fanboying, raged out between the different, you know, with the difference between book to film adaptation. Now, that's the other side of the argument, though, that I like to present to you, though, Frank. It's a different medium. It has to be displayed and it has to be filmed and told a certain way to match the medium in which it's being presented.
I completely agree with you. However, I take grievance with the way they went about doing it.
All right.
With the heavy-handed, I'm just going to change this shit because Hollywood.
Yeah, there was a lot of heavy-handed bullshittery.
Oh, there was so much heavy-handed bullshit.
Like you're right. It's a movie and not a book. There are things that have to be altered. There are things that have to be cut out, but you don't have to completely strip something because it needs to be different. I saw it the most in The Hobbit. It's like this desperate belief that the actual story won't bring enough people into the theaters, so I need to throw in and cram in all this bullshit.
Yes.
All this bullshit. All this
it's complete
fantasy wee fabulousness of movies.
It demonstrates a complete lack of faith in the audience.
Yeah, yeah. Because the fandom isn't strong enough, apparently, to love the movie for what it is.
No, we have to dumb this down for the lowest common denominator to get the butts in the seats because we're too afraid of challenging the viewers because we got to make a buck.
You know, this story as a book has only been popular for how long? But the
Over 60 years.
The movie wouldn't be able to handle itself.
No,
I'd lose so much money on this deal.
We got to make it a big, dumb action movie.
Well, I do have to admit that I was upset at the originally. I was upset at the fact that they were going to do two movies, and from The Hobbit, I'm like, really? How they? I'm like, I was able to read The Hobbit in like two sittings.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to sit down, you know, read a little bit of it, you know, walk away, try it again the next day, and finish it off. And I'm just like, and they're going to make two movies out of this. I really don't see how they're going to do it. And then I decided that you know what. Okay, I understand. They want to get the scenery in there. They want to get a little bit more story. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, they could spread it out. I could see how they could do it. And then they went and did a fucking trilogy, and that's what pissed me off. I'm like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
We have three novels, right? Originally, The Lord of the Rings was split out into six novels, two parts per novel, right?
And no. It was written as one book. It was split up into three books. Of two books each, because it was during World War II and paper was expensive.
All right, so I figured that was at the request of the
publisher. A single 1,000-page volume would have been,
astronomical.
It would have been unthinkable. So publishing it as three smaller volumes, that was manageable for the wartime budget.
Okay, so then that makes more sense.
Is one book.
So when you think about that, though, Frank, it's like, okay, three movies, you know, one movie per book. All right, good. I like that formula. But now we have one book, three fucking movies.
Well, no, that was necessary.
You really think so?
That would have been like Ralph Bakshi film, which tried to take Fellowship and Two Towers and mash it into one film. And the result is, I mean, it's stylistically, it's classic, and it's faithful to the book in the time that it's allowed, but it always comes up to the fact that we are blitzing through all these scenes.
Well, no, he's talking about The Hobbit being broken into three pieces.
Yeah, but it also comes back to Lord of the Rings being three movies.
Mm-hmm.
So that was necessary to tell the whole story. But again, sometimes with movies like this, you can break it down into the main complaint. Like, for instance, the Transformers movies. My complaint is the movies aren't about the Transformers. They're about the people kids who know the Transformers. Mm-hmm. And the people are stupid and annoying. The problem with the Lord of the Rings movies is that all the major events take place, but all the details leading up to those events have been completely changed.
The details are what matter.
Yeah. I mean, for someone who claims to love the book as much as Peter Jackson does, he seems to have no appreciation or understanding for the importance of the character development, the character's interactions, the character's motivations, and the importance of the subplots. Everything goes out the window. Sam's loyalty is there, but it's downplayed to the point where he is just off sleeping somewhere during important scenes where he should be involved.
Yeah. Well, I have to admit that the first movie, dude, I kind of cried at the end, you know, with his big speech and everything.
Yeah.
It was kind of nice and touching.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the big sappy speeches too. If I can, Gimli has turned and
nothing will be ignored.
No. I've made notes of it regarding this. Gimli has turned into a fucking short joke. That's all he's there Absolutely. For is to kick ass and to be funny and short. Boromir is just there to be the token prick.
Mm-hmm.
Aragorn's the reluctant hero.
He shouldn't be.
He shouldn't be. Because, I'm not going to get into that again. I'm not going to go back into that again. Fucking Legolas. In the movie, Legolas has turned into a goddamn superhero.
No, he's there to be pretty.
No.
That's what pissed me off in The Hobbit. That's why there are pretty dwarves, is so that there can be a guy who is attractive for the female audience. Legolas was there to be fucking pretty.
Yeah, no. Don't even get the fucking dwarves.
and he was supposed to have black hair, but not blonde.
Oh, no. Legolas does have blonde hair in the book. But,
oh. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not even going to go into The Hobbit. I have no intention at all of ever seeing the second two movies. So don't look forward to a review from me.
I think you should, and if you don't, I will pay for you to go see them.
I couldn't make... I really don't want to make myself sit through those.
Sat through the first one. I think you owe it to yourself to at least bitch about the other two.
Myself to avoid these movies for the rest of my life.
No. I totally promise now, being recorded, that I will do that with you if you're willing to go through with it.
No!
He's always begging me to watch this horrible shit with him because he doesn't feel he has the strength to do it.
I
want to
watch horrible shit that's fun to watch. I don't want to watch horrible shit that makes me angry.
I can actually imagine the guilty pleasure of The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, no.
No.
The guilty displeasure of The
Lord of the Rings.
Or the proud displeasure of...
No.
Because these are supposed to be good movies by Hollywood standards, you know?
Yeah, these fucking big blockbusters.
So to insult them by
huge fucking budget epic movies that should be brilliant, and they're just fucking stupid.
That's what we gotta do, Frank.
We're coming up on an hour here, so I think we better cut it short. Or, cut it long.
Well, with the extra fluff, it'll be about 50 minutes.
Yeah, still.
Enough.
I'm Frank. I've been really, really angry and sad that I still have to sit through all the Return of the King, the extended edition.
And I'll probably laugh at you about it.
Because she'll be laughing at me about it like a damn Virgo.
Hashtag laughing.
Hashtag Zotcast.
This will be the last time that I can foresee sitting down and watching these movies.
No, I can think of one.
What?
Sitting your child down in the future to teach him what a bad movie is.
No. No, I wouldn't do that to my child.
Now, son, this is bad.
I would love my children enough. I would love my children enough to not make them watch Lord of the Rings ever.
I can imagine them being in junior high and high school, and they're at a party where they're like, "All right, we're gonna sit down and watch Lord of the Rings," and then your kid would be like, "No, my father said I'm not allowed to watch this," and like they go into like this huge rant about it, you know?
Oh, that's the bad movie. Abby said no.
That movie touched me inappropriately.
When I was, you know, when I'm in this hype, when I was that hypothetical kid's age, I was at a party that they made us watch Kiss the Girls, and I was weeping.
Oh, my kids are going to watch good movies like Clerks and Evil Dead.
And Manos.
Manos. Fuck, my kids are going to be watching Manos before Sesame Street.
Oh, come on, man. That movie's hard enough to understand as an adult.
No, they got, that's why they got to start. No, that's why they had to start early.
You're just like a Korean, Frank.
You'll be sewing sneakers by the time you're 2 weeks old.
Oh my goodness. Well, this has been a podcast all its own, just one subject.
I'd like to apologize to all Koreans listening. I'm not accusing you of forced child labor.
No, that's the Chinamen.
We're not going to touch that at all.
So, just, iOS 7, that was developed by the China. Made in China. Hey, no wonder these parts don't work. It says right here, made in China.
No, that was Japan, ding dong.
Same difference.
No, it's not.
I know, and that's
all
the joke.
All of our Chinese and Japanese listeners, we're going to stop here before we have to apologize anymore.
I'm going to apologize for the potato.
I need to apologize to all potatoes everywhere for...
I'm Steve.
I'm Frank.
And I'm the Peanut Gallery.
She's the Peanut Gallery, and we're sorry. What the hell are you doing? Turn it off.